But first, on the line, our friend Simon Dingle. It's time for Tech to the Power of Five. Simon, brother, how goes it?
Hello, Roberto.
What is this app called Flow all about? I've never heard of it.
So, you know what? I figured out that January is a very real thing for everybody, Rob. It doesn't matter how much money you think you have at the end of the year. By the beginning of the next year, you are worrying about it. So some local devs reached out to me, and I get a lot of these kind of app pitches, like check out my app things. But this one really sparked my interest because I love what these guys are doing. So the app's called Flow Living, and basically what they're going to do is they're going to get between you and your landlord, potentially. But either way, they're going to reward you for paying your rent on time every month. And then they're going to let you do things in the app like buy your airtime a little bit cheaper, get your electricity a little bit cheaper, but they've also hooked into other services. So you can hook into Sweepstar, get somebody to come and clean your place for a little bit cheaper, hook into online grocery services so you can fill your fridge a little bit cheaper. And if you pay your rent on time, and especially if you get your landlord to sign up for the app as well and accept the rent via it, they'll start rewarding you with like 20% back on your rent, for example, that you can then use to get airtime, electricity, etc. So I think this is an awesome idea. I've been playing around with the app. I've signed up to claim my rent through it. It does some cool things, like it'll remind you to pay your rent on time, and then if you do, of course, you start unlocking rewards. It'll ask you to connect your landlord. If you do, you'll get rewards and stuff. So very cool idea, something that I'm hoping takes off more. A little bit difficult to find in the app store. You have to look for Flow Living. If you look for Flow, you will find 100 million apps, and half of them have to do with contraception. But if you look for Flow Living, you'll find it.
Okay, that's, I mean, it sounds like a really cool idea, and I can't think of anyone that's tried to break into the rental kind of space with an app. Let me ask you, you might not know, but what is the incentive if I'm a landlord, for example? Why should I sign up? Is there a benefit to me as well?
I think if you're a landlord, you're going to be interested in it because it's going to get your tenants paying their rent on time because they get rewarded. So I think that's kind of their pitch. If you're a landlord, of course, your biggest worry is people not paying their rent on time, and you don't have to run around and chase people at the end of the month, etc. So I think that's the incentive. But, you know, okay, there's a whole lot of these apps coming out now. Of course, another one we should mention is probably The Entertainer, which helps you get to restaurants and other experiences for sort of two for the price of one specials, etc. in South Africa. They've hooked up with F&B as well, so you get your subscription for free, I think, depending on what account you have with F&B. So a little bit of, like, data stuff going on there, but still a great idea. And if you start really flexing it with these apps and playing the loyalty scheme game, you can save a lot of money.
Yeah, fair enough. Listen, I mean, I'm all in favor of bringing how we do rent in this day and age into the 21st century. Sounds cool. So Flow Living, there you go. It's an app suggestion. Android and iOS, one or the other?
Yeah, you can get it across both.
Okay, cool. Very, very cool. All right, Flow Living is there. We'll keep Simon on the line for a bit of Q&A. Now's your chance. We have him on. Anything you want some advice on, anything you need a suggestion with, send a quick question to the WhatsApp line. The number is 082-550-5151, and we'll talk to Simon just after this. Turn the porch light off so you don't think I'm home. I wish you'd taste yours, but you sit at your phone. Jump after jump, keep filling me up. Twisting my arm, try giving you up. You're falling over. I'm breathing water. I'm keeping my composure. It's my sense better. We'll be right back. Vintage Culture, Pour Over on 5FM, remixed by our very own Mr. Carl Watson. Simon Dingle on the line, quick Q&A time. A couple of nice questions coming here. Simon, friend, Rodney in Port Elizabeth says, Rodney wants to learn how to code. What language do you suggest we learn to code in? Now, I know this is a very sort of up in the air kind of question. What should you learn if you're going to learn one programming language? Which one?
I would start with Java, but there's some provisos there, Rob. So firstly, a lot of people want to make a website. And if you want to make a website, you're not really learning to code as such, depending on what the website's going to do. You're more learning markup language. So that would be HTML and CSS and maybe a little bit of JavaScript. If you want to learn how to code, then I would say Java is a good language to start with, although you might want to think about Python in this day and age, because there's a lot of interesting things being done, especially in the machine learning space with Python. Alternatively, if it's an app that you want to create, Java is not a bad place to start, but you might also think about learning Swift, which is Apple's programming language used to make iOS apps. And they've got some really cool ways for you to learn it, like Swift Playgrounds on the iPad. So if you want to make an app for iOS, that's a good place to start.
Okay, fair enough. Some good suggestions. Carl in Pretoria says, guys, I'm seeing more and more of these split-screen videos on YouTube. I'm not sure if it's VR or 3D or what it is. How can I watch those?
It depends on what you're looking at. So there's a lot of reasons why you might be seeing split-screen videos on YouTube. But YouTube does have VR support now, sort of. And if you click the little dot keys in the top right-hand corner on YouTube and you say switch to cardboard, I think it is, and you've got something like a Gear VR or a cardboard headset or a Daydream or something like that, then YouTube kind of goes into VR mode. So it's a little bit difficult without knowing exactly what kind of video we're talking about, how to advise you. But yes, there is a VR mode. And there's also VR apps for YouTube. So Oculus has their own YouTube VR app, but that's for a bit of a different purpose. That's to watch normal YouTube videos on the Oculus, for example.
Okay, and if you did want to experience, I know we've talked about it, but not in a while, Google Cardboard is a thing. That basically, you fold a pair of cardboard glasses and you put your phone in them, and then you can watch things sort of, kind of, maybe like an Oculus in VR. Where do I get this?
Yeah, it's a really cool little idea. You know, we see these, like, VR headsets in the mall, these plastic ones that you can buy, that you pop your phone into, similar to the Samsung Gear VR. Google makes their own one called the Daydream, but the cardboard is the cheapest way to do it. You can even get them for free at some places. You basically fold it out of cardboard, pop your phone inside it, and to be honest, it's as good, if not better, than a lot of the more sort of, you know, plastic productized VR headsets you can buy for your phone.
Okay, someone says, guys, I want to build a gaming PC, but I don't know what I need. What do I need? It's interesting that you want to build a gaming PC and you can't talk about what you need. But what goes into a good gaming PC, Simon?
You know, now's actually a good time to be building a gaming PC, and I'll tell you why. Like, the hardware that you need for gaming, especially the GPU, which is, you know, your graphics card, that's the same hardware that gets used to mine a lot of cryptocurrencies like Ethereum. And in 2017, everybody was doing this. So graphic cards, for example, got really expensive. If you were buying, you know, a new, say, NVIDIA card or like an AMD Radeon, they got really expensive because people were buying the hell out of them to mine cryptocurrency. Now that cryptocurrency prices are down and less people are interested, there's a lot of stock sitting all over the place of, like, equipment that was destined for cryptocurrency mining but can be used for gaming. So I'll give you an example, right? Asus has a board called, I think it's a B250 mining board, which they pitched to the market is something you want to buy if you're going to mine cryptocurrency. But this board is cheap. I think it's like $700 on Takealot or something. And it's a decent gaming motherboard that you can buy for a lot cheaper than the other motherboards that just don't have the word mining on the box. So it's a good time to be buying gaming hardware,
okay,
whether it's your GPU or your motherboard. Of course, if you put together a gaming PC, you want as much memory as possible, but the most important component is the GPU. Rather spend more on a GPU and less on a processor, which is less important, for example. So long as you've got something like, you know, a 7th generation Core i5 or above, you're good for gaming. But worry more about the GPU you're getting. You want one of the latest sort of NVIDIA or Radeon chips. And you maybe want to wait a little bit because there's a lot of new technology coming out from both of those companies that's hitting the market around now.
Cool. Dude, thank you very much. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Rad. Cheers.
That's Simon Dingle at Tech to the Power of Five.